You're listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada.
We will be in James chapter 1 as our main text. As we have been going through this series about being connected, really the things that I would want to encourage you towards are to look to put into practice everything you can find to put into practice to be obedient to Jesus. And you will find yourself in spots where you can connect with other people. The relationship that we have with Jesus is one that is best worked out in the context of relationship with each other. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 17, as Jesus was preparing for his death and preparing for his resurrection, he was praying for everyone who would ever believe in him. And he prayed for all of those who would follow him, that they would be one just as Jesus and the Father are one, and that they would be connected, they would be unified by love, by care, and through him. And it's still something that we look to put into practice. And we also want to not just put it into practice, but live it out. It's something that is, this kind of connection is something that's greater than a friendship or a natural affinity where you connect with people who are like you. In a lot of ways, we learn to experience what fellowship is by embracing the fact that the thing we have in common is Jesus, and that we rally around that and not look to focus on all the areas we may be different. It allows for a better picture of a very diverse body of Christ that looks like every race, every tribe, every tongue represented under the sun and represented in the greater Reno Sparks area. So as we're working towards improving our connections and our ability to connect, I look at that as one of the ways that we are looking to put into practice the things that Jesus has taught us, the things that Scripture tells us. There's a couple different things that just are kind of givens. If you want to be a person who follows after Jesus, I would say one great thing you can do that will help you to grow in your relationship with God is to engage in the spiritual disciplines that are known to and practiced by the church and have been for millennia. And some of those things are solitude, silence, worship, study, prayer, fasting, I ran out of fingers, service. All of those things are spiritual disciplines that the church has engaged in for millennia as a way of setting ourselves apart to God, but also preparing to grow in our understanding of him, but also in our understanding of relationship and engaging relationship with others. Second thing, in addition to engaging in spiritual disciplines, we're also called to engage and respond to and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit every single day. The leading of the Holy Spirit is not something that is weird. There's not this special like auto-tune music that starts to play whenever the Holy Spirit starts to move around us. The Holy Spirit today, for one example, one of the ways the Holy Spirit led us today already is as Tim comes up to talk to us about communion, the things that he shared about with tomorrow being a new day and leaving aside even the word you were naughty will play a big role in the message I'm talking about today. And I don't talk to the people who do communion beforehand, not because I think it would be neat to just kind of let them be on their own, but because it's one of the prophetic times that God speaks to us through the power of the Holy Spirit in a way that's very normal, but also very practical and applicable to our lives today. So, way to hear Jesus. We receive what you said today. And it's also an encouragement if you're stuck in shame, if you're stuck in an area of things that you have done or that have been done to you. You can be broken in many different ways. Trust me, I am a poster boy for that. But in the brokenness, as we would trust Jesus, he is going to lead us and guide us and help us to get out of where we were. And part of this leading and guiding that the Holy Spirit does, he will lead us into areas of truth that we would not go into on our own. He will convict us of sin and of justice and judgment and righteousness. He will remind us of Jesus' words, and he will give us special insights or hints or nudges. And that's kind of what we experienced with Tim sharing today. Both engaging in spiritual disciplines and engaging in responding to the Holy Spirit are regular, they require regular reflection, regular review, regular repentance, regular refocusing, and just kind of resetting ourselves on this is what we're going to try and do, this is how we're going to try and go forward. And much the same way is if you're attempting to make change or to maintain a strong body, soul, mind, and spirit, and exercise yourself mentally, emotionally, physically, make sure you're eating right, all those things. There's daily maintenance that we do. And our relationship with Jesus, it's not that we're going back to things that he's taught us before, because what he's teaching us is something that is familiar, but it's still new every morning. And it's not just keep these commandments and everything's going to be okay. It's God's leading us into the things that he has for us day by day, step by step, everything that we're going to need in going forward. So it's not a stale in the past religion. It's a day-to-day relationship that has worked out here and then has worked out here. Many times, the relationship here is easier than the relationship here. Why? Because the people here may have an opinion about how we interact with them. And the people that we interact that try to interact with us, we may have an opinion about how they'll interact with us. And we may have issues or be at odds with them. Or, like what happened to me this week, you can have a situation that has nothing to do except for a distant memory of something that happened a long time ago, trigger you and have you respond today as though you were on fire 20 years ago. It's actually really, it's one of those things, if you're a Star Wars fan, you can see between Obi-Wan Kenobi and Darth Vader, their interactions really, they were interacting over a point of pain and suffering that had taken place decades before. And it took until the very end of, and by the way, if you don't know, at the end, Darth Vader becomes the good guy. He does. But there's this point where these guys are interacting with each other, and it's based upon these old wounds and these old betrayals and these old hurts. And we look at them and think, man, I wish they could just get over it. And at the same time, we look in the mirror, and sometimes God wants to say to us, I want you just to be able to get over it and get past it and to move forward so that those historic hurts and pains don't continue to cloud and trip you up. Does that make sense? Okay. Whew. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. James is the first letter in the New Testament that was written after Jesus' death and resurrection. It was written most likely within 20 years of Jesus ascending into heaven, and it was written by Jesus' brother James. Okay, this is at a time when most of the people who would have called upon the name of the Lord Jesus would have been, at least at the beginning, Jewish in origin, and they're still trying to integrate into the synagogue at the time. And so they're kind of finding it becoming more and more difficult to follow after Jesus with the religious instructions of the religious leaders, the Pharisees, etc., that are leading them towards the temple and the synagogue. So James writes, and what he really wants people to do is to put into practice their faith and not just talk a good game. Jesus was raised with the Son of God, okay? Words don't mean a whole lot. Actions are where it's at, all right? Words are something people can fill the air with, but unless there's action, that's his main thing. So we want to see it worked out in our lives. So James 1, 19 through 25. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. James starts off this passage basically saying, hey, everybody, this is really important. The purpose of the Bible letters that we have is to instruct us, to correct us, to challenge us, to commend us, to encourage us. But in this situation, James says, everyone pay attention. This is something that he's calling us that we cannot do on our own apart from the working of the Holy Spirit. We cannot be people who are obedient to God apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we go through with white knuckles and determination that will never help us to inherit the kingdom of God. It's only in recognizing our great need for God and the Holy Spirit, and then we can cooperate with the Holy Spirit's leading towards us. So it's you can't do it by yourself, but you can do it as God gives you the strength to be able to do it, okay? So as James is talking here, he says, I want you to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And the reason he wants us to do this is because the human tendency is to not even listen to the entire sentence before we come to a summary conclusion and respond, if necessary, with flamethrowers. Okay? To be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry means I am going to be someone who is present in my conversations. I am not going to allow that which has gone before to dictate my behavior today, but instead I'm going to weigh it. I'm going to, maybe if I feel angry, I'm going to feel it, but I'm not going to put it in the driver's seat of life. And I'm going to process through in my conversations, interactions with people based upon being with them today. That will require something in us, because in our own strength, we will be reminded of the stuff that has happened to us before, where we've been betrayed, where we've been abandoned, where we've been attacked, where we've been abused, where we've been violated. And as soon as something happens that reminds us of that, we can have this response of self-protection. It's like the monster rises up. There was a young lady I went to high school with, and she really loved going to the lake, especially our senior year. I think she was at the lake more our second semester than she was in class. And that was actually, our class was one of the first ones that implemented the 10 days absent per semester or you don't graduate. It was because of that. So, but she had gone to the lake and she'd gotten a bad sunburn, and she's walking around and she's just like expecting people are going to touch her, and she's over like walking down the hallway. This is back at a time when McQueen had maybe 1,200 students, so it's not like the 3 million that attend there today. But trying to walk down and people would see her coming, and it's like, oh, she went to the lake again because, you know, she's doing this thing, you know, don't touch me. And people were really not trying to antagonize her, not trying to cause her pain. But at some point, someone had touched her. You know, one of those, hey, just hand on the shoulder. And she screamed and lost it. And it was like so much pain. I get it. But she continued to live her life. Whenever she had the sunburn, like somehow someone was going to do it again. And you didn't. All you had to look at her was, and we'd get at this response of, don't even touch me. I think, wow, that's stupid. Well, let me tell you about Louie. Okay, a long time ago, Tuesday, Joni and I are standing in our bathroom, and she's got her curling iron out. Well, it's this thing, and she does this on either side. Okay, and she's doing her hair, and I'm getting ready to leave, and she's notorious. We're not talking, we're listening to music, there's no conversation happening until I have my stuff in my hand and I put it on my shoulder and I'm walking out and I say goodbye and she says, oh, and then she wants to talk. She wants to engage in meaningful conversation and not just in a, hey, don't forget to bring that home from the office today. It's more of a, I'd like to know how you're thinking and what you're feeling about things. And I've come to realize this, and I it's almost like I want to put all my stuff in the other room and not say anything at all and then just like text her, I'm on my way out. But there's this thing where she says, hey, you know, I've been wondering if you could, tell me what you're doing with work. She's like, you want to talk to me about church stuff? Well, yeah. Anything in particular? Well, no, and she starts talking, and all of a sudden, I'm ticked. I'm ready to go. You know, you do this every time. But even more, I'm reminded of a time way back in 2009-ish, 2010, when Joni worked at the church and not at the preschool. And when Joni worked at the church, in our great and infinite wisdom, we set it up mutually. It's going to sound like this is not a mutual thing that happened, but we set it up mutually that in the world of interactions, she would have a direct report as her boss of being me. It seemed like a good idea at the time. We went through some very challenging things. Our church planted a church in Spanish Springs. At that time, about 40% of our congregation left to go there, and about 70% of our congregational weekly, month-to-month finances also went there. We were going through interpersonal challenge, a whole bunch of stuff, and some of the greatest difficulties we had at that time were between her and I trying to figure out how do we relate to each other as a person who is the boss, as a person who is the employee, because she didn't act like a stinking employee. Because she didn't give a darn care what I said. She wanted to have a partnership, but you're the boss. Which means I'll do what I want. When, you know, it was hard. And we'd go back and forth. And I can remember multiple times where in my own frustration, not because, and I, please, don't, I'm not painting Joni as the, if in any way you're seeing her as the issue. I may point one finger here, but there's another four pointing back at me. This was an issue that I had because I felt powerless and I did not know how to navigate through the tumultuous waters of the church. And I could see that Joni had a better picture on how long-term structure and vision would work than I do. Based upon gifting. I am a day-to-day person. I am faithful. I am not going anywhere. I can implement day-to-day stuff. You want to talk about what's going to happen in 10 years? You know, go talk to somebody who cares. Or Joni. Okay, she's someone who does. And there's a couple of times we had conversations that started with a, hey, I saw a couple things. And I just like to want to know if you could help me understand what you're thinking here with this at church. And what I heard is, you suck at your job. I'm watching what you're doing, and I'm finding you somebody who doesn't know what they're doing. I don't respect you as a man. I don't respect you as my husband, and I might not even love you anymore. Okay? All of those things were not in her mind. They were not in her vocabulary. It wasn't what she was saying. But they were all things based upon my own insecurities, my own fears, my own interactions with other people that would rise to the surface when she would say these certain phrases. Like, hey, can I help? And to me, what help meant is I'm going to come in, drop a couple of stink bombs, and then leave. That's what I'm thinking in my head. And so we were able to work through that, and over the years, we found that we work best as partners. Joni is phenomenal when she comes into a situation and she can do what she wants to, and that doesn't mean like she can't follow. No, she's the person who's going to function best as a consultant and as a visionary who can come in and kind of give direction and then kind of step out of the way and then go to another area. And everywhere she goes, she makes it better. You know, our preschool goes from 6 to 110, mainly because of the leadership of her and her team. It's not because somehow, some way, I've done something great. It's because of what she and her team have done to plan this out. So we fast forward to 2021 as Louie's trying to leave the bathroom. And Joni basically says, I'd like to help. What happened? Joni, come on up here for a second. Come on, Joanne. Would you just, what did you experience? How did you experience me when you were trying to help me?
Well, yes, that. But not the smile. And.
Well, partly I'm holding my arm on.
Right. Yes,
okay.
Your arm hurts. I said.
No, how did you experience me?
How did I experience?
Yes.
The unpleasant Louie.
Yes.
The one that was, I wouldn't say cold, but like defensive and feet planted and ready to go, like ready to kind of hold your ground, whatever.
Yeah.
And so I said to Louie, I said, I am not going to persist and to press in on this conversation because of the way you're responding to me right now. I am going to continue this with you, and we will find the right words, and we will continue having this conversation, but I'm not afraid of you.
Do you see what I have to deal with? Oh my gosh. How unreasonable is that? Yeah. And so I'm like, well, okay.
Feel what you want to feel.
Yeah.
That I'm still right here.
Yes. And that's been an important part of our interesting communications is when I'm in that spot, many times she will say to me, you know, you just need to feel what you're feeling I'm not going to try and change what you're feeling, but feel what you're feeling and let's continue the conversation. Okay? Hey, I'm not done with you. Oh, yeah, I know you'd like to be done. No. And so what I want to ask is, because what that did to me is I went in the other room and I didn't go in the other room to kind of reload and come back. I went in the other room to pray and to try to get stuff to, it was a very confrontational, in the best sense of the word, speaking of truth by the Holy Spirit through my wife, that regardless of what you're experiencing right now, no matter how grumpy you may respond to me, I'm not going to give up and I'm going to continue having conversation with you, okay? Why would you do that? I mean, or how? I mean, because this is
okay
beyond me.
Why?
Yes.
Because I love you, and I know that you can get past this, and I know that, and the how would be that I think that we've experienced this enough that I know that if I pursue or you pursue whichever way it goes, that we will be able to reconcile and hear each other. And we find the words to be able to speak. That's the how. And then, like I said, the why is because I want to grow with you. I want to be in your life. I want to pursue relationship and partnership. And your responses aren't going to stop me from that. I'm not going to, you know, fall back from that just because I don't like your response. I'm going to keep pushing forward, and then you'll figure it out.
Yeah, and what happened?
Well, I mean, I'm not coming at you angrily or in any kind of demeaning way, but I'm coming at you very loving, or I'm talking to you very loving and letting you have your space to work through whatever you need to work through. And then in my own self, I'm asking, you know, well, how are my words? What can I say? Let's make sure he knows what it is, where my heart is. And then we were able to finish the conversation on the same page.
Yeah.
And I think that, I mean, we always come back to our sports analogy of being on that football field and you've got a quarterback and you've got a team, and to get that ball down to the other side, you got to be on the same team. If I'm going against what Lou's doing, trying to get to a direction, I'm not on his team, it's not going to happen. And so for, I think, both of us, we always have that quick reminder. It's like we are actually on the same team. We need to be going the same direction. How can we know what our game plan is and move forward in that?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yes, Louis.
You want to sit down?
Yes, Louis.
And so I went in the other room, and I'm meditating on this scripture. I hate talking about this scripture. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, especially when I've been really slow to listen, really quick to speak, and really quick to become angry. And recognizing, Joni's saying something to the effect of, what are you angry at? I don't know! But being able to express that, she gave me the space to be able to come in and actually say, here's what I'm experiencing. I'm having flashbacks that I haven't thought about in years, but as soon as you said that phrase, it really took me back 11 years to times of great pain and great suffering. And I was able to, and this, it takes discipline to put yourself under control, but it's also at times when you feel the most out of control, the Psalms that talk about, be at rest once more, O my soul, or be still, my soul. It's just because I feel it doesn't mean it has to be the boss. And so as it's there, so I recognize this, and I even said, okay, that's enough, calm down, no more. Okay, we're going to be right where we are. We're not going to focus on what happened 10 years ago. We're going to be here. And being able to go in and say, so what I hear you saying, Joanne, is that, and Joanne's not what I use when we're angry, it's just occasionally throw it out there. Joanne, what I hear you saying is you want to help me. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go now. And we'll talk more. And all this to say, it will lead to greater connection and even, I believe, God healing some of the breaks that are probably still a little bit fragile in our past, especially when it comes to how we navigate through our church working together interactions. And in doing so, I think what God wants to remind us is he wants to build our connections and even rebuild the ones that have kind of been burned down or that have been destroyed or that have been violated. And it doesn't minimize that which has happened before. It simply focuses on the fact that we serve a great God who heals and restores and makes things new and then makes our connections work. So as we enter, this year is year 32 of being married. July 1st will be our anniversary. As we celebrate that, it's not, I was talking to a buddy the other day who's in town because his mom had passed, and we'd gone to high school together, and he lives in Louisiana now, but we're talking about being married for 32 years. He just went, man, you're so lucky. And I'm looking back on it and thinking, I don't know if that's a word I would ever use to describe it, because then it's like, wow, you know, some people get smitten with who knows what, and I got smitten with something that was awesome. Now, it was more, if we submit ourselves to God and trust, and he will give us the tools we need to navigate through it. That doesn't mean that if you have navigated through and experienced broken relationship or loss or any of that, it's not how it works. I just feel very fortunate that my wife continues to work with me and to have the patience that when I'm at an 11, she doesn't rise up to meet me there. And then even on the other side, if she is at an 11, which it happens like once every 10 years, then, and when the finger's out, that's a great indicator. Just that's a gimme. If the finger's out, run for the hills. Okay. James is letting us know that being quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry will help to facilitate working through hard things and building stronger relationship and stronger connection. As a result, he also says it is time to get rid of. We have to get rid of the stuff that helps to provoke those negative responses of the being quick to speak, quick to get angry. And that's, he calls it the moral filth. He says anything that gunks up your life needs to go. 1 John refers to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, the things of self-indulgence. Then there is the prevalent evil, the do whatever you want. You cannot engage in a mutual relationship if one person decides they're going to do whatever they want, when they want, and how they want to do it. It will absolutely wreak havoc in that. James says it's time to get rid of that. How can you transform your connection with the people in your life? You do that by humbly accepting the word of God that he has planted inside of you and that he wants to continue to plant inside of you so that it can grow to help you become like it talks about the word being. I love, he says, just receive it. The other day I was watching, I got sidetracked on, if you ever go to YouTube to do research, anybody besides me, you go to YouTube to do research. And once you're on the YouTube, an acceptable, you know, 12 to 3 hour window, you know, that could potentially 12 minute to 3 hour. Anyway, I saw this, you know, creative tomato planting. And so I was like, oh, I'm interested in that. It's like, I don't eat tomatoes, but I'm interested in seeing, you know, how this happens. And there's a dude and he's sitting in like this chair and it's attached to this machine. And on the other side, there's like a conveyor belt in the middle, and then there's a dog sitting on the other chair, which was, I thought was really cool, and he's got a ton of tomato plants kind of in his lap, and his machine is moving, and they're going right next to this place where he's going to plant all the tomato plants. He's just going, and the dog's just sitting there going, you know, the whole, watching it, and it was awesome. We should have showed that. It was incredible, but I'm watching it and thinking, he's just popping those tomato plants in, and it's just like nothing. And you watch it all day long, and the dog's just all day. And it made me think of this. So it ties to the message. It made me think of this. Humbly receive or humbly accept the word that has been planted in you. When we read the word, when we sing the word, when we listen to a message, when we pray, when we take time to be silent and listen to God, he plants his word inside of us. And what we're being instructed by James is just receive what Jesus wants to give you. He's planting that. Boom, boom. I don't know if the Holy Spirit's there like the dog going, but For the image, just think about it. He's planting that inside you to bring about the maturity that he wants to see happen so that you can reflect him instead of reflecting your flesh when your buttons get pushed, because it's not a question of if it's going to happen, but when that is going to happen. Then he says, don't be just somebody who listens to the word and then ignores it. Do what it actually says, and you'll see a blessing worked out in your life. And I love this because I can remember sitting in a meeting with my mentor, Jerry Cook, and there's a ton of pastors, and pastors are probably at the top 10 of the worst people to tell something to do or to give information, because like in this situation, Jerry gave us information. He talked about this is one of the characteristics that helps bring life to churches, and have people in the room going, uh-huh, that's great. We're 100% behind you. Matter of fact, we've heard it. We already do that. And he says, I just want you to stop for a second, because you're all nodding your heads like this, and I can tell you this is not in you yet. It's in your ears, but don't equate just because it's been in your ears that somehow it's worked into your life. It has to go from hearing it to actually being worked out. And then the scripture that James talks about next, he says, it's like if you hear the word and you don't put it into practice, you're like the dude who's brushing his teeth in the morning in the mirror and you've got toothpaste all over your face because you're an aggressive toothbrusher, dental approved. And you look in the mirror and you look like a rabid dog because there's so much toothpaste on your face, and you look at it and you walk away and you don't do anything about it. And then later on, your spouse has to say, excuse me, you've got toothpaste all over your face and your shirt. You're going to wear that today. And you have to go back and clean it up. It does us no good to see it and not do something about it. Instead, James says, it's like you're the guy who's looking in the mirror with the toothbrush and toothpaste, and you've got it all over your face, and you stop, and you get out the rag yourself, and you clean it up, and you go downstairs, and your spouse says, wow, what happened to you? You cleaned up. To do leads to the blessing. To merely hear does not. So, with that said, it seems like the important thing for us to do is to watch our mouths. Learn how to control what we say. Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Okay, if you want to be or you consider yourself to be religious, and you know it's almost become a bad word, but what the word means is if you are trying to live a reverently worshipful life dedicated to following God in every area of your life, then you will watch what you say, or you're embracing the biggest deceit, self-deceit that you can embrace. Watch your mouth. What happens with your mouth? Let's look at Luke chapter 6, verse 45. It says, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And this is the problem. We can't just say, well, I'm just going to shut up and not say anything, because eventually the next time we open up, anything that is in here will work its way out of our life. So we can't just tell somebody, you need to watch your mouth. You need to not say stuff like that anymore. You need to not be so quick to respond, because all that will do is have a whole backup of sewage inside of yourself, and eventually it's going to come out anyway. What God says instead is, let's change what's going on inside of your heart so that what comes out is good. Okay? He wants us to watch our heart. If what comes, we're only speaking what comes out of our, what is already in our hearts, we have to know that the only thing that we're going to be able to speak good things is allowing God to do a transformation in here. I can't change my words. I can't change my attitudes without addressing my heart. And there's no way to address my heart except by surrendering, and the heart being the middle or the center of my being, surrendering that to the Lord. You know, Joni referenced reading through the Proverbs. You know, today's Proverbs 6. Let's look at, you know, read Proverbs 6. Or I like to go through and I read 5 Psalms a day and 1 Proverb. And at the end of the month, I've read the entire book. What I find in Psalms is there are prayers specifically addressing the heart. David knew that his heart was a mess, and the only way to address his heart was to ask God to do a transforming work. We're going to look at 3 different places where David prays a prayer asking God to work inside of his heart, because he wants what's coming out of his mouth to be life-giving. Okay, Psalm 51:10, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Lord, you know the wickedness and the junk that flows out of this mouth. I pray that you would power wash my heart so that that will change. Next verse, Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The things that I'm thinking about, the things that I'm dwelling upon, may they be, I guess, past the filter of the Holy Spirit, so that the stuff that comes out will be pleasing and acceptable to you in the words that I speak. And then finally, this scripture that we're intimately familiar with, as it's been one of the prayers that we've included as one of the main things in several series we've done. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. These are not magic prayers, but they are a way of life where we invite the Holy Spirit to do a work inside of us, to clean and to transform and to make us new in ways that we cannot do by ourselves or by willpower. God wants to heal us so that what comes out of us is life-giving, but it requires us submitting ourselves to him and then receiving his word and receiving the work of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit wants to do inside of us. We will see our connections shifted. We will see our connections improve, and we will see people who are blown away by the conversations that they will have with us. And often it will be the people who are closest to us say, I can't believe what's coming out of your mouth. And I can't believe the connection that's happening because I don't have to guard myself that somehow you're just going to come in and vomit all over the place. Let me tell you, the process of getting our hearts right before God, there's a whole lot of repentance that's involved, because as we are wanting our heart to be right before God and be clean before God and be clean in our interactions with others, one of the main things that often shows up is we start, anything, the junk that's in there is coming out. And we have to go to the people that we're saying stuff, say, I'm so sorry that I went there. I'm so sorry this came out. I don't want that to be true of me anymore. And I go back and say, Lord, I submit my heart to you, Lord. Search me, try me, know my heart, know my mind. If there's anything wicked, you know, pull me to you. I pray that you would take, you know, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. I'm submitting those to you, Lord. And I'm recognizing that as I meet him in that spot, he will do the work of changing my heart. And I will see the connections in my life morph. God's heart is not to drop a bomb on us or drop a hammer on us or to punish. His desire is that we would experience his reconciliation with him and also with each other, and that we would be people who facilitate strong connection. And that can only happen when we're speaking life, speaking love, speaking truth. Let's bow our heads. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray for each person in this room. Lord, you know the relationships that are represented. You know the potential connections that are out there. I would ask that you would do a work in us, Lord. Help us to not just try to use willpower to watch our mouths, but that we would be power washed by the power of your Spirit in our hearts. That we would trust you, we'd depend upon you, and we'd continue to come back to you, that your word would do a work in making us more like you. In the words we speak, the thoughts we think, the way we act towards others. In Jesus' name. With nobody looking around, I want to give you an opportunity to respond. If you recognize in this, like, I am a candidate, I need a heart washing. I recognize what's coming out of my mouth. It's caustic, sometimes it's toxic, but I realize that I have attempted to change it and I can't do it on my own. I'm functioning off of past things, not the current situation. Lord, I need you to do a work in me. If that's you, I just would invite you to lift your hand to the Lord saying, God, that's me. I recognize I am in a great point of need. I need your work and your transforming hand, your transforming power. Lord, you see hands up around this room. Recognize that we are powerless in our own strength, but in you we can do anything. I pray, Lord, that you would fill our mouths with worship and praise and with your word, and that the washing of the word would make our hearts and minds and the meditations that come in and out clean before you. In Jesus' name, you put your hands down. Amen. One of the most important things you can do is don't give up. Don't quit. Remember, tomorrow is a new day. Tim said, remember, the sun rises, or sun sets, the sun rises, it's a new day. It was evening, it was morning. The enemy wants to get us stuck in, well, look at what you did yesterday. Look at what you did 10 years ago. Look at what this happened. It was evening and it was morning. God reminds us with him, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases and his mercies never come to an end. His forgiveness never comes to an end. The fresh starts never come to an end. Live that, represent that in Jesus' name, especially in your closest relationships. Those are the ones that have to reveal what's going on in here. Right on? Right on.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us via email at web@hillside4.org. That's W-E-B @hillside4.org.